الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic, Hijra, time to make tracks, addresses essentially community, the Muslim community. That community is made up of individuals, but ultimately those individuals make up the community by which Islam is implemented in its fullest. We know all of the various commandments of Islam call us to community, whether it is salah in jama'ah, our daily prayers done in congregation, whether it is the fasting in Ramadan where the community fasts together, those who seek to find out when the month begins, when the month ends, are doing so for the benefit of the community as a whole. Sumu li ru'yati. When it is seen, then all of you together should fast. Similarly, the giving of zakah, for it to be done properly, it must be done on a community base. To try to do it on an individual level, of course, we do this if there's no organized approach to it, but the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was that of doing it as a community, and so on and so forth. Hajj, etc. All of the pillars of Islam, even the very rites of birth and death, all of it calls to community. The aqiqah, the community sharing in the birth. The janazah, community sharing in the burial. All of Islam calls to community. So the concept of hijra addresses fundamentally the maintenance of the Muslim community. That is what is at the bottom of it. For us to be able to effectively implement Islam, we need to be a part and a parcel of a community. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "I command you to do five things." It's a hadith narrated by Al-Harith Al-Ash'ari. One, to obey and to adhere to the community. First one, I command you to do five things. Very first one is to adhere to the community. To listen, to obey, to make hijra, and to fight in Allah's cause. Hear this hadith. I command you to do five things. To adhere to the community, to listen, to obey, to emigrate, that's to make hijra, and to fight in Allah's cause. Then he went on to say, he who secedes from the community as much as a palm's width has cast aside the bonds of Islam unless he returns. He who breaks off from the community, goes off by himself, a palm's width, the width of a palm, from the community, this is metaphorically speaking, then he has cast off the bonds of Islam from himself. And he doesn't regain that until he returns to the community. Because on his own, there are many other narrations where the Prophet ﷺ gave the imagery of the community being like a flock a flock of sheep, and the stray sheep is the one that the wolf can easily devour. Satan, satanic forces, the forces of misguidance are easily able to overcome that individual who goes off on his own. So the concept of Hijra, as I said, is primarily one of protecting the community, of maintaining the Ummah in all of its versions, whether it is the greater Ummah or it is the lesser Ummah of Muslims in given areas of the world. Now, the Quran lays the foundation of Hijra from the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the fourth chapter known as Surah An-Nisa, verse 97, where Allah says there, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Indeed, those who the angels take their souls in a state of self-oppression, sin, disobedience to Allah, Allah refers to in different parts of the Quran as self-oppression. Because obviously in our disobedience we cannot harm Allah, we cannot oppress Allah. So who do we oppress? We oppress people around us. And in oppressing people around us, we oppress ourselves the most. Because in the end, we will have to face the major consequence. Whatever harm we do to people in this life, it is oppression, but it is nothing like the consequence of that harm coming back on us in the next life. So that sin, whatever sin we do, is ultimately oppression of ourselves. So those who the angels take in the state of disobedience to Allah, living lives of disobedience to Allah, the angels would ask them at the time of taking their souls, فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ? In what state were you? قَالُوا, those people would say, كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, we were weak. We were ourselves the oppressed in the land. And the angels would respond to them saying, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا? Wasn't Allah's earth expansive, wide, that you could have made hijra in it? You could have emigrated, moved out of that situation? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. For those, their abode will be hell. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. An evil end. Hell, as a consequence for having not made hijra while being in a state of oppression. We know according to Sharia that whenever the consequence of an act is hell, then that act, if you don't do it, right, this act must be wajib, so that if you don't do it, the consequence is hell. Or the act is haram, that if you do it, the consequence is hell. This is a basic principle in Sharia, important for us to understand. How do the scholars get to the point of saying hijra is wajib, is fard, is obligatory? If you don't make hijra, then you are in sin. You are committing haram. How do they arrive at that? It is from the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah itself. It is not done, like some people mistakenly think, that how the scholar or the mufti arrives at it is he has a bottle sitting on his desk. And inside of that bottle, he has pieces of paper, 5 pieces of paper. On one piece it says wajib. On another piece it says sunnah. Another piece it says mubah. Another one it says makruh. And another one it says haram. So when people call him up, he takes the phone and they ask him for a fatwa. He puts his hand in the bottle, he pulls out a paper, haram, puts it back. Next call, puts his hand in, he pulls it out again, sunnah, next call. No, it's not done like this. It's not arbitrary. It is based on the text of the Quran and the sunnah. So, this text here, which tells us for those people, and these people who were themselves oppressed, these were oppressed people in the land who had the opportunity to make hijrah, and they didn't. They instead chose to stay where they were in disobedience to Allah by not fulfilling Allah's commands in a variety of different ways. So their consequence is hell. That is the punishment for that act. So that is telling us that the issue of hijrah is a critical issue. It is not something we can deal with lightly. We have to look at it very seriously. In verses, of course, when we look at the verses of the Quran, we have to look at them in a context. So, going on to verses 98 and 99, Allah gives the exceptions, because of course Allah is merciful. He will not punish those who truly had no choice. So he said, except those really weak and oppressed, men, women and children, who have no means in their power, nor can they find any escape. For them there is hope that Allah will forgive. For Allah erases sins and He is oft forgiven. There is hope, hope for them that Allah will forgive them. Then he goes on in the 100th verse to complete the thought. Removing the doubts, where people will say, but if we make hijrah, where can we go? Is it really better than this situation? Or, you know, all kinds of excuses people have for hijrah. Allah goes on to say, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, whoever makes hijrah for the sake of Allah, يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا, he will find a variety of opportunities for him or her in the land. He will find them. This is matching the same verse, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, whoever fears Allah, Allah will find a way open for them. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and he will be provided for from where he didn't expect it. This is Allah's promise. Once we make the niyyah, once we make that intention for hijrah for the sake of Allah, then the way will become clear. We will have the opportunity. يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما. So whoever leaves his home making hijrah, emigrating for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, and death catches him on the way, then his reward is guaranteed by Allah, and forgiveness is his. This is the promise of Allah. So it is calling us to make an effort. That is what Allah requires of us, to make the intention for the sake of Allah and then make the effort. Now, we have a statement of the Prophet ﷺ in which he said, لا هجرة بعد الفتح ولكن جهاد ونية. that there is no hijrah after the conquest of Mecca. And all that remains is jihadun, fighting, struggling for the sake of Allah, and niyyah, and having the correct intention in our acts. So some people say, okay, hijrah is finished, end of story. That command, that wajib, hijrah, which was wajib, was the hijrah in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Reality, of course, is that hijrah is on different stages. The first hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions that is, was to Ethiopia in the Meccan period. To Ethiopia, some of his companions fled. They fled why? Because of oppression. Oppression which was taking place in Mecca. So they fled for the sake of their religion. Those who were able did so. Those who could not remained. So at that point it was a recommended hijrah. It wasn't an obligation. It was recommended for those who could. Then, of course, at that time most people were too weak to do it. So the obligation was not placed on the community in that way. However, once Medina was established, because going to Mecca, going to Abyssinia meant crossing the Red Sea. It wasn't an easy journey. It was a major journey. But once Medina was established with the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then hijrah to Medina became an absolute obligation. Everybody who could was supposed to go. To not do so and be able was to be in sin. And this verse came as the reminder of that obligation to make hijrah to Medina. Of course, there were still some in Mecca who couldn't, but they became the exception. The rest of the people of Medina left, leaving their property behind, because leaving property is not an excuse for not making hijrah. Say, if I make hijrah, then I'm going to lose out. I bought a home, I have to sell it, prices of the property has dropped due to the financial crisis, etc. I'm not going to get my money, my profits. No. If it is time for hijrah, then it is time for hijrah. If this can't hold you, this is not an excuse. So those of Mecca left. They left their properties. The Meccans would not allow them to take their property with them. They just had to flee with whatever they could, with the clothes on their backs. They left husbands, left wives, wives left husbands, and they went. However, once Mecca was conquered, then the obligation for Muslims in Mecca to make hijrah to Medina was lifted. It was no longer an obligation to move to Medina, because Mecca had now become a part of Darul Islam. People could practice. It was cleaned up of idolatry. Tawheed was established. So the obligation was no longer there. However, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ left behind instructions indicating that in fact, though the obligation of hijrah to Medina is no longer there, the obligation of hijrah remains in the Muslim community as a principle till the last day of this world. In a hadith narrated by Muawiyah, he quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "La tanqati'u al-hijra hatta tanqati'u at-tawbah." Hijrah will not end until the acceptance of repentance ends. وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةِ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. And tawbah or repentance will not stop being accepted until the sun rises from the west. Until the sun rises from the west. That is one of the major signs of the last day. So, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here confirms that Hijrah is ongoing. It didn't end with Fath, the conquest of Mecca. The Hijrah to Medina ended. But the concept of Hijrah remains. So when he said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِمَّنْ عَادَ